Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's Village Board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris, here. Trustee Genrich.
Present.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter, here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Kopisch.
Here.
President Okonkwo, do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to approve.
Second.
Second by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. We have several. The Arthritis Foundation Walk to Cure Arthritis at Green Isle Park is on June 4th. Where can you get information? The goal is to raise $60,000. So far, they've raised about $19,000. And I'm sure we have information on the village website. It is going to start in Green Isle Park. Start time is 12 p.m. I guess I should tell you when. I did it. June 4th, Sunday. And the site opens at 12 p.m. Oh, 9 a.m., I'm sorry. And the walk starts at 10. On May 17th, Wednesday, May 17th, from 4 to 8 p.m., there's free admission to Heritage Hill State Park for Brown County Federation of History Organizations History Treasure Tour. 12 Brown County historical organizations, including Heritage Hill, will open their doors free to the public for the third annual History Treasure Tour, revealing many of the community's hidden historical treasures. This relaxed event encourages the public, including students and families, to explore Brown County's rich historical past. Sounds neat. Just a reminder that LOA summer office hours starting June 5th will be Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Friday, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Get ready for the Bell and Run on June 10th. There is a course map. I know at bellandrun.org, right? At bellandrun.org. But I have a map if you want it. But it goes through Alloway. It's up on the screen. And we look forward to that event every year. And looking forward to some nice weather for this year's. And is this our third annual farmers market?
It is.
We're entering into the third exciting year of the Alloway Farmers Market right here on right next door at the Bellin property. It starts Thursday, June 15th, and goes through October 5th. The hours are 3:30 to 6:30. I hear we have people knocking on down our doors to be vendors. Right, Trevor? So it's been a great village event, and we look forward to all of your participation. Bring your friends. It's a great place to come and enjoy a nice evening. There is a neighborhood garage sale on the weekend of May 19th. Through 21st. There's an article in the Alloway Neighbors magazine telling you all of the places that are having the sales. So go have some fun, meet some neighbors, and enjoy the day. This morning was the groundbreaking ceremony for the CP Center. They're getting very excited and getting ready to break ground on 21,000 square foot extension or addition. It's very exciting stuff. They are about $500,000 short of their total goal. So if you have any extra money to burn and want to go home, look up cpcenter.org and donate today. At the last village board meeting, the village board asked staff to create a letter in support of moving the Brown County Jail and to send those Green Bay Correctional Facility. Not the Brown County Jail. Don't get me in trouble. And so staff put together a letter that we're going to be sending to about 24 of our state legislators. And I'll just read it real quickly. It says, the Alloway Village Board of Trustees respectfully requests your support for the sale of the Green Bay Correctional Institution and for construction and lease with a purchase option of a new correctional institution in Brown County or an adjacent county. The proposal is presented by Representative David Steffen and Senator Frank Lassay solves several issues facing the Green Bay Correctional Institution. Overcrowding, deteriorating facilities, safety of prisoners and staff, and inefficiencies, to name a few. The GBCI, at 119 years old, has more than lived out its useful life. The required investment to address deficiencies and overcrowding and to provide safety for prisoners and staff over the next 10 years is estimated to cost $199 million, and in the end, the state of Wisconsin is operating an outdated end-of-life facility. A new facility in or near Brown County would address all of the concerns this current site presents. A new facility will be designed to meet the needs of modern corrections, increase efficiency, reduce safety concerns, and increase capacity for inmates. The village of Alloway is a landlocked community located between the cities of De Pere and Green Bay and the villages of Bellevue and Ashwaubenon, with 30% of the total land being tax-exempt, which includes the GBCI. The relocation of the prison would allow for future growth of our community on some of the most valuable land in the greater Green Bay area. We have estimated that the redevelopment of the GBCI land would generate $80 million in economic development due to the location of the Fox River and access to the highway infrastructure. Thank you very much for your consideration. Very nice job. That's going out to our senators and state representatives. And I personally have had a lot of folks in the community come up to me and ask me about that, and so ask how they can help. And so I am going to be putting together a petition and sending it around to allow the people in the community to voice support if they so choose. I know our state senators and our representatives care about what our taxpayers think, and that's how they've operated, so I think we should let them know how we feel about that. And then Brad and I just came back from Troy Strickenbach's State of the County address, and he did a very nice job. Things in Brown County are very exciting, and he gave Alloway a couple of very nice shout outs, I guess. And Ray was there as well. And so it was a neat event. But he gave Alloway credit for starting the plowing of the Fox River Trail and a few other things. So thank you to Troy. Any other announcements from the board? Any announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience tonight who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? If it is on this evening's agenda, we'll get to it there at that point in time. But if you want to speak on something that's not on the agenda, this is the time. Sir, come on up.
Hello, my name is name's Eric Berteau. I've been a parent parishioner at St. Matthew Church since 1999.
Hi, Eric. Could you give your address, please?
My current address is 810 Lime Kiln Road.
Thank you.
I've been working on I had a near fatal work injury in 2013. And due to my disability, I have started some businesses working for myself because I do still possess the skills that I have to be able to work. I just can't make a restricted work schedule due to seizures and, you know, migraine activity. So I've been working for a couple of years to try to obtain the Waterworks Pump House at 535 Green Avenue. There's been an architect that's looked at it. I've had appraisal done for the work to have the hole in the roof repaired and to have all the Spanish tiles restored and to have a new paint job done. I've had a preliminary work for a solar power plant, a lot of things. This building, though, I understand that there's some investigating still going on as far as the historical covenants. I am prepared to accept this building now as is with historical covenants. I have several businesses that this building is already perfect for me as is, as I have a client base in the Alloway area very close by. Mm-hmm. I use a tricycle. I can no longer drive, so being able to try to my clients is very convenient. Currently, I'm commuting from basically Edison Middle School. So as it is, I can use it for my gardening business, I can use it for my piano restoring business, and I can move my computer graphic arts lab there. I have long-term goals for it that may depend on historical covenants, but really this building is perfect for me right now as it is. I submitted another offer yesterday morning along with an earnest payment check for $20,000, which is in the village vault, and that's about all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your interest in the building. Would anyone else? Sir?
Hi, I'm Dr. Julie Weiss.
And I'm Dr. Skip Weiss, and we just took over Green Bay Posture Spine Center and turned it into Weiss Family Clinic of Chiropractic.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
We're really excited to be here. We've been on the northeast side of Green Bay for the last 9 years. We see a patient volume of almost 450 patients a week in 4 days, and that'll be increasing. And the reason why we're here to talk tonight is to see if we can get on the agenda for the Planning Commission to talk about median resolution on Webster Avenue. The median that's in front of our office on Webster Ave, you cannot turn into our parking lot from the southbound lane. And when you guys are talking about expansion here coming up, we would like to know more about it and to possibly getting that a turn lane put in there from the southbound lane so people can get into our parking lot easier. Mm-hmm. We will, by that time, be seeing well over 200 patients a day. So driving traffic into this area from within a 65-mile radius is very important to the village of Alloway, I feel. And that's what's happened when we were on the northeast side. We increased tons of traffic over there. We're not your typical chiropractic office. We deal heavily in children, mainly with neurosensory issues from ADD, ADHD to autism, cerebral palsy, and then your average family clinic. But we will be adding two new doctors soon, and it's going to increase patient volume by double to triple. So there's not a chiropractic office like us in Green Bay.
Great.
Anything else?
No, our concern is more or less the safety issues. We see mm-hmm. patients that are parking over by a Bay Area Yoga because they can't get across, mm-hmm. and then them and the 7-8 kids that they're toting across Webster is a concern for me. So that would be, I've kind of pulled up the architectural design. So if that can be redone there between the two of us from Bay Area Yoga over across to us of having a turning lane, that would be ideal.
Okay, well, first of all, welcome to Alloway.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing your business here.
Thank you.
And Brad, that's a county road, Webster?
Is it?
I don't know. Yeah, okay. It's a county road.
Okay.
So what is the correct process for us to figure this out? Craig's here tonight.
I would suspect that Craig and Paul Pentecchio will have a conversation to start the dialogue and see what could happen.
Okay.
So Craig is our Director of Public Works.
That would be absolutely wonderful. Our patient safety is our top concern. And like I stated earlier, there's really no office like it's in Green Bay. We have in 4 years ago, we were given the Entrepreneurship Award through the Green Bay Area Chamber of Commerce. We are rapidly, rapidly growing. That's why we bought a 5,000-square-foot facility from 1,400. And it's we know what's going to happen to traffic already in the last 2 days. We took occupancy on Monday and started there. And, I mean, we saw 105 patients that day. So very, very, very busy. And we love it.
Good.
Yeah, we love it. We love the area. We love being in this location. This is phenomenal. You guys have an amazing community here. We come over to Alloway a lot. We actually live downtown Green Bay. But it's wonderful over here. In the last couple of days, it's a wonderful community. I can't wait to stay here for the next 20, 25 years and finish our office off here.
And we're glad to have you. Thank you
Thank you
very
much, you guys.
So Craig can help you out with that.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming tonight. And you don't have to leave, by the way. You can sit and enjoy yourself.
President Rafferty?
Yes, sir.
Should we double check, see if they either are or will be becoming members of the Alloway Business Association?
That's an excellent point, Trustee Harris. Dr. Zweis, if you're interested, Alloway has an Alloway Business Association.
You do?
We do.
Okay.
And
I was on it today.
You were on it today?
Yes.
Oh, great. So you should join. Get to know some great business leaders.
And if I'd like to mention we're having a grand opening June 24th. So that's for our patients, but also the community.
That building has been completely remodeled on the inside. Nell's stayed alone. We left them there. That's a phenomenal business. If you all haven't ever been there, Nell's is amazing. Probably the most warm-hearted women that you'll ever meet with an amazing cause with helping cancer survivors and people going through cancer. And it's nice to have them on the back side of us. With the front 3,500 square feet, we completely remodeled and did that. So,
wonderful.
Thank you all so much.
Thanks a lot. Well, I thought you wanted to speak. Is there anyone else who would like to speak tonight?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd like to see a sidewalk on West St. Joseph Street between Webster Avenue and the...
Jim?
Yeah.
We're done talking about St. Joseph. You bring this up at every meeting. I asked last time that we not keep bringing the same things up. We don't control. We have a plan. I know, and I'm using the wrong word, but there's an intent to put in a pedestrian facility. How's that?
That's required by law, yeah.
Yeah.
And the PDD.
So we know you want that, we want that, and it'll happen someday.
Well, it's not on the in any of the budgets coming up in the next 5 to 10 years. It was removed.
Jim,
I was on the bike bed committee,
Jim,
so...
I'm sorry. I can't continue to use this time to go over the same thing.
Okay.
We do an annual budget.
And the road's in very rough shape.
And I thank you very much. Anyone else like to talk tonight? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 5, Resolution 2017-20, authorizing the issuance and sale of $3,115,000 in general obligation promissory notes, Series 2017A. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Mr. President, fellow village board members. I left a copy of our
Could
sale
you introduce
report.
Yourself, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Greg Johnson from Elders. I'm the village's municipal advisor and assisted with your note issuance that you'll be considering this evening. You should have a copy of our sale report that I left at your place that summarizes the results from the sale today. Just as a quick reminder, at your meeting at the end of March, the Village Board authorized the issuance of these general obligation promissory notes to fund various street and utility infrastructure projects within the village. We conducted the sale this morning for the notes. A summary of the sale is on the first page after the cover page, and it's a sale day report. A total of 8 bids were received from the notes. Very strong bidding environment. 5 of the bids were submitted by banks or underwriters actually located out of the state of Wisconsin, so there was broad national interest in your notes. The winning bidder was UMB Bank out of Kansas City, Missouri, with a true interest cost of 2.1146%. The total debt service cost over the 10-year life of the notes came in $127,581 less than the estimate that we presented to you last month. There was a premium bid submitted by UMB Bank, which means they were going to willing to pay the village more than the face value of the notes, which allowed us to reduce the amount that you're actually borrowing. So in the resolution, which was attached to our pre-sale report, the final borrowing amount is actually $3,080,000. So they would reduce the amount that you're borrowing. You still have the full amount for the project costs that were identified, and you just have to issue less debt to pay for those same project costs. What's included after our executive summary is just a copy of the bid tabulation, which includes a summary of all of the eight bids that were received. So it covers three pages. And then we've updated our financial analysis to include the final sale results. So I just wanted to briefly walk through a couple of the spreadsheets just to kind of point out the financial impact of the proposed notes. On page 5 of the sale report, page number 8 in the lower right-hand corner, this is just a summary of the sources and uses for the GEO promissory notes. All the project costs remain the same. It's approximately $3,037,000. Then we factored in all of the issuance expenses. As I mentioned, they came in less than estimated. So you'll see you authorized $3,115,000 in notes. The final amount that's before you for consideration this evening is $3,080,000. The debt is allocated, of course, across several funding sources. The portion of the debt that's for the streets and park improvements will be paid through your property tax levy for debt service. The debt service that's attributable to the sanitary sewer, the water, and the stormwater utility improvements, all of that debt service is anticipated to be paid by the revenue streams of those utilities. So there's several revenue sources that will ultimately be pledged to pay the debt service on these notes. Kind of a summary of the overall financial impact of these notes and your existing debt can be found on page 8. On the far left-hand side of this spreadsheet, we summarize all of your existing general obligation debt service payments. A significant portion of your existing debt is also paid by your various utilities in addition to your property tax levy for debt service. On the far right-hand side of that spreadsheet, we've included the proposed principal and interest payments for the notes you're considering this evening. And then we've shown the revenue streams that will be necessary from the sanitary sewer, water, and stormwater utility to pay their respective share of the debt service. And then your new projected levy for debt service going forward, including your existing debt and the proposed notes that you're considering this evening. The levy impact is very consistent. It came in slightly less than what we projected and showed to the village board at your meeting at the end of March. And then down below, the new debt issue, kind of in the center of the page, it shows that number I mentioned earlier, that the total debt service cost came in about $127,580 less than estimated. One final comment I wanted to make is the village has done in the past. The village received a rating from Moody's Investor Services. A copy of the rating report is included at the back of our report. As you have time, I encourage you to give that a read-through. It's a nice independent assessment of the village's overall financial and economic condition provided by Moody's. The report was highly favorable. The village has had that AA2 rating for several years, noted the village is very strong financial condition, healthy reserve levels, history of strong budgetary management, and strong, stable tax base as well. So really there were no concerns that were raised by Moody's during the rating process. The report was generally very positive. So the action that's before you this evening is to adopt the final copy of the resolution that was included in our report. Again, the final amount is $3,080,000, which is reflected in that resolution. If the resolution passes, there will be a bid form that's signed this evening by the village president and the village clerk, just acknowledging that you've accepted the sale results as presented this evening. So I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have on the sale of the general obligation promissory notes.
Any questions? Trustee Harris.
I just wondered how the village's the AA2 rating compares with other municipalities in the area.
compares favorably. Several communities in the great Green Bay area are in that AA category, AA1, AA2, AA3. The fact that you're in a AA2 rating category is consistent with a lot of your peer communities. But in terms of, kind of looking broader statewide in terms of how Alloway compares to other AA2 rated communities, in terms of your tax base and your population, you're a little smaller than most AA2 rated communities, but the reason you're in that category primarily is your consistently strong and healthy financial condition. That's really what kind of keeps you in that category. So, looking at your peers in the region and peers statewide, you stack up very favorably.
The only other question I had is, how often are you running into a situation where banks offering a premium like we have?
It's very often in this bidding environment. It's rare. I'd say for the last 2-3 years, it's been rare that we see bids without a premium bid. So it's nothing we generally anticipate going in, because we'd rather be conservative and not anticipate the premium. But the fact that there was a premium bid wasn't surprising. Also wasn't too surprising that you had a strong number of bidders. The fact that you were within issuing promissory notes with a 10-year term, your AA2 rating, I think when I was talking with staff and we were looking at different financing options, I mentioned that 10-year promissory notes with your rating will generate a lot of interest. And, 8 bids is very strong, and especially bids from really all over the country. So certainly got a lot of interest in the market today, which I think benefits the village with keeping those debt service costs down.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Greg? Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Thanks to staff for keeping this financially in good shape. Clara?
Can we take a roll call vote for this one?
Take a roll call? Okay. Take a roll call vote. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Kopisch.
Aye.
We are good. Thank you. I'll just take care of that.
Just one of them for now. He just needs to take them.
Going to allow us to make some great improvements in Alloway. And I'm going to interrupt this evening's agenda just to make a quick welcome. We have a guest with us tonight, our former village president, Steve Andenov. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. Moving on, we have action item number 6, request from Plan Commission for recommended initiatives and assigned tasks staff and the commission should focus efforts and attention on in 2017. Do I have a motion on this item? Should we have a discussion? Mm-hmm. Let's have a discussion. Okay, so the Plan Commission is asking, they have made recommendations, and they are asking for the board's input, if we have any, on changes to the plan, to their goals for 2017, or if we think they've put their goals and objectives together in a way that meets with the village's needs. From what I've read, I was very happy with what the Plan Commission, I think, has done a tremendous job, and I think their plan makes sense, and I wouldn't have any recommendations personally.
Is there a sense that the comprehensive plan and the zoning plan now are
in much better alignment than it had been?
No.
Just beginning that way, huh? As a planning commission participant, yes. You would know. So is a recommendation for them to proceed along that path? To continue that alignment?
The alignment's only going to happen with
staff time?
We do the zoning code. Okay. Until we already put dollars there, not much is going to happen with that. There's some ideas of a few things that they'd like to see happen before that, but okay. That's what needs to be done next.
And that was
as a member of the Planning Commission, what would you be looking for tonight?
I actually missed this meeting where we had this discussion.
Okay.
I believe you were there, President Rafter.
Yes. I personally think I think what they're putting together makes sense. It's basically around zoning, right? And putting the plan together. Trevor, do you have any input that you'd like to share?
I do have a few numbers I can share with you.
Go for it.
So in the packet, I included centered the discussion around the zoning code because, as Trustee Dart said, that was the intent or the main focus the Planning Commission would like direction on. And we've been discussing this at Planning Commission level for probably 2 years, more than that maybe. We recently had someone from the UW Extension come in and give us a presentation, and she recommended our next task be doing a self-audit on ourselves and just kind of looking at our zoning code and our comprehensive plan and other documents related to that and see where that takes us. So some of the questions, or one of the questions was, how often do applicants seek variances, conditional uses, or other modifications, and for what purposes? And so I did some research, and for variances, from the period of 2006 to 2016, there were 18 variances. 13 had to do with setbacks, 2 height, 2 parking, and 1 fence. So, again, the setbacks, we're working in a built environment. In the 70s, when the zoning code was adopted, it was a completely different built environment than what we have today. It was suburban, with new development taking place, and now we have infill development, and trying to work around that is challenging. For zoning amendments, between 2006 and 2015, we had 53 zoning amendments. 56% of them were text amendments. 33% were rezones, and 11% were PDDs. And then the next piece of information, I only have data back to 2009, but developments taking place in the village between 2009 and 2016, there were 15 development projects, 3 were PDD, 4 were PDD amendments, and 12 were site plan and design review. So ideally, PDD is kind of a last resort. It's a legal use. It's something the state gives us under our policing powers for zoning. But it's more for flexibility for unique projects. And when you start leaning on your PDD, other municipalities will tell you the same thing. I spoke with Green Bay and back in 2006 when they updated their zoning code, they were doing the same thing. They're kind of leaning on that PDD process. And to try and get around that, you just can't. So they updated their zoning code, and that's the course of action the Planning Commission wishes to take as well. In the 2017 budget, $3,900 were allocated to start the process. It seems like the discussion at the last Planning Commission meeting, they want to use that money to kind of investigate on what type of code will best work for the village. In your packets, there's you will see that there's a number of different codes, zoning types of zoning codes that you can have. You can also have a combination of all five. But so the next step would be to utilize those funds to hire a consultant that's experienced with this and recommend a type of zoning code and RFP, help develop an RFP for soliciting consultants to update our zoning code. However, the total cost of updating the zoning code is about $60,000, plus or minus a little bit. But depending on and that, the plus or minus depends on what kind of code, zoning code you want to adopt. Form-based codes have a lot more pictures in them, so graphics and everything up the cost quite a bit.
Trustee Kopich?
That question. I'm not sure if I'm short on maturity here or not, but the agenda calls for assigned task responsibilities for staff. I don't see those.
This was a continuing item from the last agenda, or the last meeting, so I apologize. But the Planning Commission has an annual report every year, and they requested the board to specifically look at the annual report and the initiatives for 2017 and see if they align with what the village board's intentions are. And specifically, they wanted to look at the zoning code. They obviously don't want to spend that $3,900 if the sentiment from the board is that they're not going to go anywhere.
Well, from what I understand, our zoning code needs help, right? Do we need a complete overhaul of our rezoning, seeing that most of the village is residential? Or is there a way to do a zoning for the areas that actually need, or an update to the areas that actually need the update?
I think you could probably get around it with some overlay zonings,
okay,
mixed use for target areas, like you mentioned. I think there are some portions that have to be addressed for existing homes. Some of our lots on the northern end are very narrow, and our current standards for a single-family home, you need a 75 by 100-foot lot, and a lot of the homes on the northern end are 50 by 100. So to do anything in them is very challenging, and then you have to go through the variance process, and can be cumbersome.
So it's staff's recommendation at this point, as well as the Planning Commission, to do an overhaul of the zoning code?
For the most part, yes.
Trustee Day?
One of the things that I believe the Planning Commission would like to see happens sooner rather than later, if there's a way that we could incorporate mixed use before we even go on to rezoning, because there's a couple areas that we're looking at right now where mixed use has become will become a problem with things that want to happen and, you know, won't be allowed in our zoning code, as we have no mixed use.
So that would be doing an overlay type of a thing, or just assigning a new?
You could create a separate zoning classification for mixed use.
Then we'd have to assign it somewhere. Right. You have to decide where it goes.
You could also have conditional use, expand our conditional uses that we allow in the village.
Well, we could continue the use of PDD.
Correct.
Right, for mixed use.
I did notice you said there was 56 setbacks. Is there something we can do with setbacks? I mean, is there a way we can address some of the issues that keep coming up before we, and look at those before we dig in and do the whole zoning code?
It's a little bit outside of my realm, but you could definitely reach out to Brown County and see what they have to offer.
So would it be a recommendation, Trustee Dart, to see what we can do, instruct the Planning Commission to look at what we can do in the short term? Because anything, approving a full overhaul would be a budgetary thing that would come out of next year's budget, right? Mm-hmm. So at least in the short term, take a look at what our options are?
I wouldn't recommend that, yes.
Don't mean to put words in there.
Thank you, I'll take them.
Any other thoughts? Trustee Green.
I'm going to second Penny's motion.
Okay.
What was the motion?
The motion was that we...
I didn't quite catch the motion.
It's a recommendation.
It was a recommendation, but...
I thought it was a good one.
The recommendation.
The motion or recommendation was to instruct staff and Planning Commission to look at options for fixing some of the challenges we face in the short term while we consider a complete overhaul during budget time.
And could we include the words examples of, like, mixed use and setbacks?
Yeah.
Yes. Examples such as mixed use and setbacks.
And houses on non-conforming lots. Because, Trevor, is there a way to fix that to where if they're doing something normal with the house that wouldn't require a variance, their lot size is smaller, they shouldn't be punished for that. So, like, how do we handle that?
In the new zoning code.
Right.
Or an exemption until we get the new zoning code.
If they were just adding on to their house, they might be able to get around it. If they were encroaching within the 6-foot setback, then it's...
Yeah, or even getting a permit for anything, that would affect. They need some kind of waiver for that.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, I'll look into it.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 7, Resolution 2017-21, amending the fee schedule for a sign exception in the amount of $125, back from April 18th. So we basically directed or agreed with staff to do that, and this is actually the resolution that we're approving. Do I have a motion? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris.
Yes.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 8, Ordinance 2017-05, amending Village Code 5-9D4, to include alternates on the Economic Development Committee from 418. Do I have a motion for this item?
I'll move to approve.
Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? For those of you in the audience, we chose to add 3 alternate members to our Economic Development Committee to help spur economic development in the village. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. New business. Action item number 9, Resolution 27-22, thanking Clara Pickett for her years of service as finance director. As we mentioned at our last meeting, Clara will be leaving us for a new career elsewhere. She won't know what she's missing. But we want to recognize Clara for her hard work. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Clara, would you come up? Resolution 2017-22, Village of Alloway, thanking Clara Pickett for her years of service as finance director.
Whereas on May 4th, 2017, Claire Pickett leaves her current position as finance director after 4 years of dedicated service to the Village of Alloway. Whereas Clara Pickett diligently and with great dedication performed her duties as finance director, providing leadership and great financial stewardship of the Village of Alloway tax dollars in difficult economic times, during which the Village maintained its double A2 rating. And whereas Clara Pickett led in the development, analysis, and review of the Village's proposed operating budget, while also monitoring financial trends, coordinating the capital improvement program, providing resource allocation support services to all departments, and whereas Claire Pickett strategically planned for the short-term and long-term direction consistent with the Village goals and objectives, and whereas Claire Pickett diligently and with great dedication performed her duties as finance director, providing leadership and prudent stewardship of the Village of Alloway tax dollars, thereby earning the respect of our colleagues and the Village Board. Now, therefore, be it resolved that on this date, May 2nd, 2017, the Village Board recognizes Claire Pickett for her service to the Village of Alloway and expresses its appreciation for her dedication to the citizens of Alloway. Passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway the second day of May 2017. Thank you very much for your service, Claire. We're going to miss you.
President Rafter, would you like to get a picture?
Should we have a picture?
I think you should have a picture.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Claire. Anyone
have
a camera?
Anybody have a phone?
Jim left.
Didn't we embarrass you?
Yeah, I think so.
He does.
One member of the
Good luck to you, Clara. Action item number 9. Nope, we're done. Should we do it again? Action item number 10. Resolution 2017. Well, let me do this. Are any of the folks who are being recognized tonight for many years of service on any of our village committees or councils here tonight? Okay. Then if there's not any opposition to the board, we would take items number 10 through 17 as one. Because they're all the same resolution. Just thanking different folks. And so tonight we are thanking members of the community who have served on our committees and commissions. And they are Jeff Jackals, Mark Olenicek. Well, Jeff, first of all, for his years of service on the Board of Appeals. Mark Olenicek for his years of service on the Economic Development Committee. Steve Metzler for his years of service on the Historic Preservation Committee. John Horn for his years of service on the Historic Preservation Committee. Dave Duran for his service on the Board of Review. Diane Woodhead for her years of service on the Board of Review. Roger Retzlaff for his years of service on the Plan Commission. And Clarence Matuzak for his years of service on the Public Works Committee. The resolutions read, insert the name, Resolution 2017-13 through 17, be resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank for serving on the economic or on the committee since the date they started, and to honor that resident with a resolution and certificate of recognition of their excellent service to the community, passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway the second day of May 2017. The Village of Alloway cannot operate without the hard work of our citizens, and we thank them all very much for everything they do. So they will all get a nice certificate.
motion.
Pardon?
We need a motion.
Thank you. So I have a motion, Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion?
Just one comment. I'd like to recognize Mark Olenichek's service. Mark was one of the charter members of the Economic Development Committee and took it upon himself, along with Troy Streckenbach, our county executive, to form the business committee. And I think, you know, that thing is really paying some dividends these days as well. So a little special recognition for Mark's help.
I agree. Thank you for bringing that up. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 18, applications for licenses to sell fermented malt beverages and intoxicating liquors from 7/1/2017 through June 30th of 2018. All of the companies listed on our agenda have filled all of their duties, correct?
Other than the actual liquor license,
other
yes.
than the actual liquor license. So do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
I'll move to approve.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 19, request from Lorelei Inn, Inc. at 1412 South Webster Avenue for a noise variance permit and to allow alcohol to be sold and served in their parking lot on September 22nd and 23rd for their Oktoberfest celebration, a celebration that's been going on for quite some time and continues to grow. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
I have a second.
Second.
Trustee Kopisch, any discussion?
It's been a long-standing event and no issues and...
Yep, and they made some changes last year to the stages that I think really helped. And great business here in Alloway. They provide a great service to us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 20, request from Doug Meikle at Doug's Take 5 at 3600 Riverside Drive for a noise variance permit and to allow alcohol to be sold and served in their parking lot on August 13th for a musical fundraiser. Excuse me. This is for a fundraiser for the Optimist Club. And Doug would like to host a small little concert from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. It's a band made up of five doctors in the area. There is a letter from DEO Vogel on your desks. I know DEO Vogel met with Doug today to talk to him. And from a noise variance perspective, you don't seem to have an issue, correct, Jason? The other question is whether or not people can consume alcohol in their parking lot, right?
Correct.
So they currently can consume it inside and on the patio, but do they need to change their liquor license?
They would have to amend the premise description.
Okay. And should we have that before we move on?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Doug was not able to be here, and the only information that we have is that they are going to have the people provide proof of their age for proper identification and that they'd be given wristbands, but we don't really know the security and how we're going to keep them off the streets and how parking is going to be handled. So we do have questions.
Okay. Well, in seeing that this is not until August 13th, we have plenty of time. So I would move to table it until our next meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay. Thank you.
Quick question. In any of the discussions we've had so far, is there any mention of fencing? I see the dimensions listed, but I don't know if some sort of temporary fence will be erected. I wasn't clear on that.
I haven't heard anything about that. I don't think they've, quite honestly, I don't think they've thought fit through.
Okay.
I don't know that they thought that would be a need. This is the first time they're doing it. The Optimist Club said, hey, can we have a little fundraiser? And so Doug said yes. So that's why it's good that it came to us now, because it gives us time to get it done right.
Agreed.
Okay. Any other discussion? Motion to postpone or table it till our next meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. So, Brad, can you see that whoever needs to be in touch gets in touch?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Another Optimist Club event. Action item number 21. Request from Village or Alloway Optimist Club for a vendor permit and noise variance permit to allow music at Green Isle Park during Alloway Fest on June 11th. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Kopisch, seconded by Trustee Green. This is once again an ongoing event. I'm assuming they're having the auto show again. Okay, I don't think we've ever had any issues as far as I know. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 22, Public Works Committee minutes dated April 12, 2017, recommendation regarding request for stop sign at the corner of McCormick and Irwin. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
I would move to accept the recommendation from Public Works of this sign being installed once the coffee shop is open for business.
Do I have a second? I will second that. This is, there's a new coffee shop coming into town. We talked about that at the last meeting, small little in the original Austin's location. And they're going to have people walking on streets with their pets, and there used to be a stop sign there, it's my understanding, and at the Public Works Committee, they recommended just to be safe, once the coffee shop opens business, let's protect people and put a stop sign up. Safe?
Yes, well, and the tent's to slow down traffic so it can drive pedestrian traffic into the coffee shop. And when there wasn't a pedestrian kind of destination there, that's why the stop sign was taken out. But what we found is people, especially on the east-west streets, tend to fly through them. And so this would slow them down so people can cross and get to the coffee shop.
Great.
And feedback from one resident that lives up the street that doubts that it's necessary, but I think he would be fine with waiting to see if the coffee shop does indeed open and then, you know, go with it at that point.
Mr. Harris?
I was going to ask if we have a projected date for the opening yet that we're aware of, and then ballpark, what's the time to install within 1 week after notification? Is that the norm? I don't know if it's realistic.
The same day, as soon as we know.
And Trevor, do we know?
Last I spoke with Sarah, she was working with the architect, and she didn't have an anticipated date yet.
Okay. Thank you.
The original request for the sign actually didn't even come from the owner that's going to be running the coffee shop. It was one of the residents there. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with the residents over that one.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. At our last village board meeting, we appointed folks to committees, and one of the members who was appointed to one of our committees, Matt Clark, emailed me the day after saying that was the first village board meeting he had been to and that he enjoyed it, and he wanted to offer to be appointed to as an alternate to the Board of Appeals. So with that, I'd like to thank him for his offer to serve. And I would like to recommend that we appoint Matt Clark as an alternate to the Board of Appeals. Do I have a motion on that item? I'll make that one. I can't.
I move to make that motion.
Thank you, Justin. Seconded by?
I'll second. I've met Mr. Park a few times, and I think he'd do a good job with that.
Seconded by Trustee Genright. Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Clark. Item number 24, action regarding sign exception request from Lamar Advertising Sign for billboard sign located at 1224 South Monroe Avenue on the Alloway Green Bay border.
I'm just going to indicate that we do have Don Schneider here.
Okay.
Schneider, sorry.
That's all right.
Would the board like to make a motion to suspend the rules to invite Mr. Schneider up, who is with Lamar?
Make a motion to suspend.
Trustee Atwood. Seconded by Trustee Harris. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Come on up, Mr. Schneider.
Thank you.
Mr. Schneider is with Lamar Sign. He's the one who provided us with the booklets, and he would like to put a digital sign where now there is a non-digital sign.
Correct.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I had the pleasure of being at your planning commission. By the way, my name is Don Snyder. It's spelled S-N-Y-D-E-R. I'm the general manager of Lamar Outdoor. We are located at 1800 Sherman Road in Kapir. And we have the majority of the billboard inventory in northeastern Wisconsin. We also have all three billboards that are within your jurisdiction. So it's probably been a while since somebody's been here to talk about billboards. So I'm here to talk to you about actually just taking down a static face and putting up a digital face. In the booklet, I don't know if you guys have had time to go through it, but the state statute allows for it. We're regulated by the federal government, we're regulated by the state statute, and typically we're regulated by local ordinances as well. These change every 8 seconds. They're static, there's no video, there's no sound, there's no nothing. It's just an advertisement that stays up, it's LED. You'll see an example coming up of what it looks like, but right there where the Havish ad is the site that we're looking to convert. The other thing that we do, we run a lot of public service announcements on these, and we also do a lot of public safety within the communities that we work with. So I guess the big question for you folks is, first of all, is it allowed? And my contention is that your ordinance doesn't prohibit it. The other question is, what's the value for Alloway? I have a couple answers for you. So to answer that question, you do not increase your billboard inventory. It stays the same. Simply, we're taking down the static face, and we're putting up an LED face. It allows Alloway to become part of the greater Green Bay area. Currently, we have 25 digital billboards up in the area. And we use those for weather alerts. We use them for wanted people. We use them for Amber Alerts. We're part of the State Association for Amber Alerts. Right now, we're mostly doing silver alerts, and that's where elderly people either walk away from their home or their facilities that they're in, and that's been really successful across the state. We do severe weather alerts. Some of the municipalities use us for snow emergencies, so when they want the people to get off the streets, don't park on the streets. We do traffic alerts. We do missing people, and we do really any type of emergency alert. The other advantage is that some of the communities have taken, or some of the opportunities that communities have taken, is a chance to promote community events on these billboards. That offer is open to you folks as well. Within a minute, we run 6 slots on these billboards. And if they're not full and you have a community event going, we'd be happy to promote that. It just takes some point of contact with the village to let us know what it is. I have a graphic designer that can put together the ad for you folks, and we can promote any type of event that you have going on. It also provides an opportunity for public service. If the police need help, we're there to help you. If public service wants to put up a snow emergency, we'll be glad to do that. Probably really importantly is it creates another opportunity for your businesses within the village to advertise and create business for themselves. With that, I'm assuming that you guys took a look at the packets. I'm open for any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Snyder?
Question. He had mentioned that there's opportunity for public service announcements.
Correct.
And you're regulated state and federally. Is there a requirement? Is there a ratio for every minute you need to provide 10 seconds or anything?
No.
There's none?
No.
So self-regulating?
Correct. We do that on our own. The regulations typically are on brightness, how long the ad has to stay up. Exactly.
How, speaking of brightness, what would the hours that it would be lit, 24/7?
Correct. Okay. And I do have a lighting chart in your packet, and if you'd like to take a second and look at that, I think that's really important information. It's in the section called Current Billboard. There's a picture that looks like this, mm-hmm. and it shows what the lighting is going to look like. At 400 feet from the sign, it's going to be 3/100ths of a candle. That's how bright it is. The nearest residence to the sign is over 600 feet away. They're not going to have any impact at all.
At least going south.
Correct.
To the north, it's what it's in.
It'll be facing the south, correct.
Yeah, so the way it's positioned, I drove by there today to make sure. And you do drive straight at it because the road curves there. But you're saying that 600 feet away, it'd be pretty dull, huh?
There will be no light impact at all. And then you've got commercial businesses there that have lights on. I think there's some street lights, too, in the area. The light will get washed out by those.
And at nighttime, the light dims?
It does. That's correct. That's another important point. There's two settings for these. One is daytime, where it's brighter. And at night, it dims down to a reasonable brightness. I personally have been close to on-premise signs that have no regulation. And some of those put out a tremendous amount of light. And if I was a neighbor to that, I'd be complaining.
Is the brightness controlled by the light outside so that it automatically adjusts based off of the time of year, or do you have to manually adjust it?
No, it's done automatically.
So your other billboards of this type in the area are the same way, or are some brighter just by design?
No, they're all the same.
They're all the same.
Yeah. Lamar is a national company, and they've got thousands of digital billboards, and we typically regulate ourselves stricter than what any of the government entities do, because we're trying to be a good neighbor. We're not here to annoy you or create problems. I've gone as far, when I first introduced this to Green Bay, to offer a set of keys to the power. If they thought there was a problem, they could come out and shut it off. We've had no problems.
You have three signs in town.
Correct.
One on Webster, one on Riverside.
Correct.
Where's the one on Riverside?
This one.
Oh, that's on Riverside. Where are the ones on Webster? I'm sorry.
One is at the Lorelei. And there's another
one. The other one is also on Riverside near St. Michael's Club.
Oh, that's right. It's at the railroad tracks at St. Michael's.
I'd like to ask you how you came up with that it is not a non-conforming sign at this time, because at Plan Commission, it was talked about as non-conforming by the size of this sign being lit. That
I didn't say it was not non-conforming. It's probably non-conforming by your ordinance. It's a conforming sign by state standards. However, your ordinance does not prohibit changing out sign faces.
I'm going to call on Trevor to help us here, because he has the sign code more in his head than I do. Trevor, at Plan Commission, they didn't want to approve this because there's criteria, like five criteria of why we would do a variance on a sign, so that the board wouldn't always be dealing with these things. And as far as I could see from those, that criteria, it didn't meet the criteria, not even one of them. And it was size, and there's no financial hardship, that was another thing. So to get a variance for a sign, we wrote a pretty stringent set of criteria before we come to the board. So if Trevor has that, I'd appreciate if you would read that to us, Trevor.
Certainly. So the first one, as you said, there has to be a hardship based off of the physical surroundings, so such as shape or topographical conditions. This would be the case if a building was located lower than the grade of the road. So you might see this at certain locations on Riverside Drive. The second condition would be that the conditions upon which the application for an exception is based would not be applicable generally to other property within the same zoning classification. The third is the purpose of the exception is not based exclusively upon a desire for economic or other material gain by the applicant or owner. The next one is the alleged difficulty or hardship is caused by this article and has not been created by any person presently having an interest in the property. The fifth one, the granting of the exception will not be detrimental to the public welfare or interest to other property or improvements in the neighborhood in which the property is located. And then the last one is the proposed exception will not impair an adequate supply of light, air, to adjacent property or substantially increase the congestion in public streets or increase the danger of fire and danger of public safety or substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. And those are standards that we adopted. We used to not have an sign exception process, but there were certain circumstances, such as some of the businesses on Riverside, and there were concerned when the road is reconstructed, when Riverside is reconstructed, that their non-conforming sign would not be allowed, and that was pretty much because of the topography of that area. And so when the Plan Commission amended the sign code back in September of last year, they adopted an exception process where a business owner could go through the Plan Commission and the Village Board and received an exception to the sign code based off of these standards.
And when you and I were talking about this, Trevor, you had mentioned that something about 50% of the size.
That's correct.
The sign right now wouldn't be allowed in the village because of the size of it, but it is, excuse me. But it's grandfathered in, am I correct, by the size? And if you change more than 50% of that sign, if you invest more than 50% of the value by upgrading it, then it doesn't fall under that criteria of a...
Is that part of the code here?
I believe that is part of the code.
Yes.
It is in the code, yes.
Okay, because the state 50% rule is on maintenance and repair. This is neither. We're simply just switching out the face.
Okay. Is it a maintenance and repair, or is it
no,
a changing of the sign?
Yes, and that was provided to the petitioner.
And I would contend that your exceptions are really for on-premise signs versus off-premise signs, which this is.
How are you defining on-premise versus off-premise?
Case? On-premise would be a sign that a business would put up on their own property to promote their own business.
Oh, okay.
And then off-premise is on another piece of property that promotes other businesses.
Okay.
A billboard, essentially.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring this up because I want to remind the board that we got into a lot of problems over the years by making exceptions to the sign code. And then we took out any appeal at all. And I would feel like we would be breaking the appeal system that we just wrote less than a year ago by agreeing to this. Even though I don't think it's a bad idea. It's just, we set up this criteria and these rules, and are we going to use them or aren't we?
And when we did set those up, do you think we were looking at on-premise or off-premise signs?
I don't think we specified which one that meant. If you know,
for the most part,
if we consider that a loophole that we can use, you know, that's what I would say it would be.
As I'm reading, go ahead.
Are you sure?
I was just going to say, as I'm reading the ordinance, it talks about all on-site and off-site non-conforming signs. So I'm assuming that when you said on-premise, off-premise, I wondered if that was similar. So I'm thinking that where all on-site and off-site non-conforming signs, so on and so forth, were covering both instances.
Okay.
I believe that's the case, if that's the proper interpretation.
So if you...
Rob, what were you going to say?
I think, number one, I would agree with Penny. I would welcome it. I think it adds value to the village in terms of being able to promote different events, severe weather, silver alerts. We are down there in that medical corridor, you know, right through that area. In terms of the variance, I also agree with that. We have to maintain that integrity of the ordinances and issues that we put in place that we wrote less than a year ago. However, in this particular circumstance, because it's not a business in a business sign where we're going to blow up the ordinance to put a sign to block a competitor or something of that nature. This is an outdoor advertising venue that quite honestly operates a very respectable business across the country. So I think there's some different criteria, but I understand what you're saying. So I want to throw that out there for discussion because I think it is a little bit different in the sense that it's not...
I would contend to that you're not going to open up a can of worms because we own the three structures that are in town. We're not going to be adding any structures in town. We're not asking to add any structures to the village. So it's just this one location.
Do you foresee yourself asking to change out the faces on the other two signs in the future?
Not at this time, no.
Well, it's my understanding that we can't provide an exception because our code doesn't allow for the exception based on change. So we would be looking at a change to the ordinance. Correct?
Correct. If the board deemed that this wasn't didn't meet the standards in the code, then the other avenue would be you'd have to change the ordinance.
Which would then require a public hearing and that whole process.
Well, some of the discussions we've had in the past regarding Webster Market and Schrader's, those were digital rolling signs, so that was a little different.
And we've recently changed our ordinance to allow for that now.
Yeah. Okay, so this is different. How a typical billboard like that, how often does that get changed, or is it just all over the board? Not the electronic one, but the standard paper?
This one here is every 28 days the message gets changed.
Okay. And is the cost... For the new one where it's rolling 10 seconds per minute or whatever, is the cost to the advertiser the same, more or less?
It's typically a little bit less.
Okay. And then your cost, I assume, would be less because you're not putting paper on there and all that stuff for signage. And
that's an opportunity for us to make more money because you're taking a single advertisement that's up 24/7 for 28 days and putting up, allowing for six, essentially.
Right, okay. And then in terms of public service announcements and other stuff, you kind of alluded to whenever space is available. So would there be a lot of times when space isn't available?
Let me clarify that. Even if we were sold out with the six slots that we have for advertisements, we have an additional slot for emergencies and for public service. Okay. So that's always there.
Okay.
So one slot per hour for that?
Or no, per minute.
Per minute.
Correct.
And you had said it helps our local business owners be able to advertise.
Well, it gives them an opportunity, an additional opportunity to advertise. Typically, this location is sold out all the time.
And for those businesses that can't afford, say, what you have today, is it much more affordable for them? Or
like, it's about 80% of the cost, typically.
They're leaving our village when they see that sign.
Correct.
They're not coming into our village.
You could say turn around.
The message should be, you need to turn around. You're going the wrong way.
Fred?
I just wanted to share with the board that I did receive a call today from Jim Schneider on Marine Street. Was opposed to the sign. And he was unable to be here tonight, and he asked if I would share that with the board. So.
Okay, thank you. You pose an interesting question, sir. Well, one that's to Trustee Dart's point.
I don't know if this was shared with the Plan Commission or not, but in terms of reading through how the ordinance states everything, the ballpark cost of the alteration to the sign to go from static to variable would be about how much?
$80,000.
And the cost, if you just had to rebuild that one as a static sign, would be, I'm assuming, less than $80,000. The capital investment is greater on the variable.
Correct. We actually rebuilt this sign last year. The village allowed us to rebuild the sign, even though it was non-conforming.
More nice.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
If that was to be a digital sign at its height, could that cause a problem for motors going towards it? Because
no, there's been numerous studies done. As a matter of fact, the city of Milwaukee had one close to an intersection, and they found that accidents actually went down at that location. There's been, again, I have 16 of these on city streets, Manitowoc, Fond du Lac, Green Bay, Grand Chute. We've had no issues at all.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Schneider? Yes, sir.
One last one, I hope. Why are you picking this one, which is non-conforming, as opposed to one of the other two, which would conform and give you the same opportunity for that revenue enhancement that you mentioned earlier?
I don't think any of our billboards are conforming.
I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, because of the size. Your current ordinance allows for billboards, but they're very small.
Okay.
So we picked this location because it's on a very busy road, mm-hmm. And it's in high demand, and we really think it's going to be of the best value for you folks as well.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
And why would you not ask for permission to do all three?
A, it's the cost. B, we'll never change out all of our billboards to digital. They have to be top locations in order for me to do this.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Schneider? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Motion to pick up the rolls. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart.
I move not to approve the request to change this sign.
Okay. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, seconds. Any discussion? Can we use it to shame our finance director into not leaving the village? I'm sorry. Discussion.
If we vote to not approve at this point, what's the recourse? Are we looking at an ordinance change to provide this opportunity? That's the only other option, basically?
Right. If the board I still wish to pursue this, that would be the only other available option.
Do we have a lot of billboards rather than just signage? There's a difference between signage and a billboard, right?
If you're thinking about a billboard based off the
location
in size, no, we don't have many. We have, as Mr. Snyder has mentioned, we have three owned by Lamar. If you're thinking about size-wise, non-off-premise, Traders has one, I'm not sure. If you're thinking of off-premise, we have maybe one or two other ones, but those are smaller. There's the Bell and Psychiatric one, and I don't know if that's technically, it's not billboard, but it's an off-premise sign. And then we also have Hawthorne Suites up there on Webster as well. We typically do not allow off-premise signs, but those signs have been there for a number of years.
So with the minimal amount of billboards, is there any way we could look at billboards separately from our regular sign code? And if there was a sign change, just do it on billboards? Or isn't there enough criteria to separate billboards from signage?
I think you could probably distinguish, come up with some language to distinguish the two. If there isn't already, I don't know how the state categorizes them, but that's something I could look into.
And if we went ahead with the change, would that impact, we'll call the on-premise, the monument boards, would that have an effect on what they're doing? So say the Traders, some of the gas stations, anything like that, the food men on Webster.
Are you saying would it set some precedents, or?
Yep. Is it going to impact them at all?
I don't know.
Are we opening a can of worms, so to speak, or not? It doesn't appear that way to me.
Right.
I think we'd be, if we were to go that route, I think we'd be okay. Sorry if I'm interrupting you, Trevor, but because if we go that route and we decide to make a change only to quote unquote billboards, we'd be looking at something as a certain dimension. Yeah. Whereas, correct. So the wording, we would be able to customize it for that type of advertisement. I still don't know if that would do anything for this particular location, because the ground that it's based is zoned a residential. And we don't allow commercial signs in that area. So I don't know if that would be an issue.
Or rezone the parcel.
Well, and I also, we do allow on-premise signs to be digital today, or signs for private businesses. So it's the size. And I think it's the size, well, I wasn't here before, but I'm guessing it was the size of the billboards that we didn't want to be all over the place, right? So here they're allowed, and my opinion would be if we're going to have them, they should look as nice as possible if they're not imposing on our residents.
Has economic development weighed in on any of this? Are they any awareness of this? On one hand, you know, we've got somebody who wants to spend $80,000 in the village to promote businesses, not all of which are in the village. In fact, the majority probably are not. Mayflower's up there right now, and the owner does live in the village, but the business is out in Oneida. You know, I'm kind of twisting with this because, you know, we did get feedback from a couple of residents that didn't think it was a good idea, but we're always trying to push economic development, and this could be considered part of that. You know, how do we weigh that? I mean, if it's 600 feet, you can hardly see it. And it's not primarily residential on this side of it. There's a property right across from it that's at least partial residential, partial office, and then the dry cleaner and the liquor store and the yoga and all that. I'm having trouble trying to figure out what's the right way to go on this one.
Well, and you can see that sign from 400 feet away, too.
Right.
So it's just, my concern was the brightness at nighttime. And Mr. Snyder says that it dims during the night. If we were going to make a change, though, that would have to be a change to our ordinance. It would have to be a very specific change to our ordinance, and we'd have to go through the process, including a public hearing, at which time residents would be able to voice any concern that they had. Mr. Lane.
We do have an Economic Development Committee meeting on Friday, and we could do an amendment to the agenda and get some feedback from them if you so choose to get it from the business standpoint.
Okay.
And I also think from an ordinance standpoint, I would encourage that too, Brad. But, you know, from an ordinance standpoint, when you're looking at such a few number, three? From an outdoor advertising standpoint, pull that out of the ordinance and rewrite it. I mean, the trend is going digital. So to have one of these, it might even improve the traffic in that flow by the light on the road. There is kind of a blind intersection right there. Might even light it up a little bit. So there could be some advantages to that. If a different location is selected, it's selected. But I think it'd be okay to pull out those. I don't think when these exceptions were written last year that we considered billboards. I think it was all business locations.
Well, and whether we did or not, I guess the question is, do we want to?
Right.
If it was not an oversight, but if it wasn't contemplated at that point in time, do we at least want to put it up for discussion? And like you said, Trustee Dart, we don't want to undo the hard work that was done, but maybe we weren't thinking along these lines, and the question is, do we want to? Do we want to bring that question up?
And that would be another discussion.
So we could...
Well, I would agree with you.
But right now we have a motion.
Okay. Motion you still feel very strongly
I do.
Okay.
I worked on that sign code many years. In many different facets.
Could we...
Well, are we still in the discussion phase?
That
being said, if you've worked on that for as many years as you have, was specifically billboards ever a discussion?
No.
It was primarily business signage. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, there was no... The exceptions were taken out. The where you could appeal, that was totally taken out. We just put that back in. But the criteria is very specific, and this sign doesn't meet that criteria. Now, with that said, it's just, this is the rules we put in place. Are we going to use them or aren't we? And if we have a different intent for those being a billboard, we can still do that. But the way it's written right now, I don't think that that would be right for us to do, because that's not what we wrote.
So you're saying say no to this?
Breaking our own rules.
Okay.
So if we say no to this, obviously the petitioner could come back with a different request, or can we amend the motion to direct it back to staff and committee to give us another shot at this? If we pull billboards out of the zone, out of the ordinance?
Well, that's a different question, right?
That kind of complicates things, but...
We could make a compound...
Can we add that to the motion, or is that just a separate issue, do you think?
To bring it back?
I think
that would be separate.
Separate issue.
You can, someone can bring that back to a future, put on a future agenda.
And I wouldn't oppose, I personally would not be opposed to it coming back as a request to change the ordinance.
Me neither.
But that makes it clean.
Mm-hmm. We like to be clean. Any other discussion on that matter? Thoughts?
I think the one other thing is if we continue down that path of seeing what our other options are aside from exactly what's in front of us tonight, and I don't presume to know enough about Mr. Snyder's business, but without the concerns of some of the residents, the traffic headed on Riverside who's going to see this particular sign, I believe the numbers are going to be almost the same that would see the sign that's near St. Michael's, and that you would not have the potential concern of residents because there are no residents along that stretch. I don't know if that's something else to consider. Again, I don't presume to know enough about his business, but that's something else maybe we can investigate, and if it goes nowhere immediately, that's fine too.
Based on Trustee Dart's comments, you are right. We don't have an option to give an exception because the request doesn't fulfill any of the options for an exception, right? So for that request, we truly don't have any recourse but to say no. And then, of course, the petitioner could come back and say they want to change to the ordinance.
And we're also saying at that point that we would entertain that idea.
I personally would. So, okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? The motion is to deny the request. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion passes.
One no.
One no. Mr. Schneider, I think you heard that the board's very happy or willing to listen to potential change to the ordinance to allow for that, but it's not a promise, but it's we just weren't able to deal with it in this venue.
Can I ask a question?
If there's no problem. Yep.
Would the board be
can you come up here to ask
yeah,
those so is so just so it's recorded through so,
run.
Hold on.
Been in the car all day.
Excuse me. Just 1 second. Do we formally
we'll suspend the rules?
Motion.
Motion. Second. Trustee Atwood. All in favor, signify
aye.
By saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion passes.
Just have a couple of questions. One, would you be open to language recommendations?
Sure.
Why wouldn't we? Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. And again, we're not looking to increase the inventory. We just simply want to switch out a face here. But we could put lighting controls and all that sort of stuff in the language. We've done that with every municipality that we've worked with on this. So we could actually supply language, then you guys can hash it out and determine whether you like it or not.
Great.
Thanks again for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Action item number 20.
Do we want to return?
Oh, thank you. I have a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All those in favor signify
aye.
By saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 25, consent agenda. We'll take them all together. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
To approve by Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Report, update on cerebral palsy project modifications. Trevor.
Thank you. So as you mentioned, President Rapper, today was the groundbreaking. We did receive some correspondence with our architect last week, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, regarding a change in some of their screening based off of some state comments. So this is essentially the aerial of the site, with this being the new expansion, and this being the existing building. There's going to be some mechanical equipment on the roof up here, and as was presented to us, this would be screened from ground view. You can see, you might be able to see the tops of it, and then this would be from Wapanoag. So this direction would be if you're staying in the northeast corner of the property along 172. kind of the cul-de-sac of Wabnor and 172, if that helps. So this was what was presented to us. However, the state reviewed the plans and said that that has to be lowered, that false wall, because of some fire concerns. So this is what they will be constructing. From the residents' point of view, you won't be able to tell a difference from the existing homes on Wabnor Court. And because this was a state requirement, we really don't have any jurisdiction over the state, we did not require them to go through the site plan review again. We did an exception for this, but this is just an informational point to make tonight. This is a slight change from what was presented at the final approval. We did also ask that they, even though the neighbors wouldn't be seeing it, that they would still notify the neighbors just to inform them of changes so they're aware.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Trevor? It's a very exciting project for the village. Thank you, Trevor. Moving on to item number 27, update and report on Neighborhood Watch / Association. Trevor? Thought we'd have Jason on there. Try to keep him up.
Just updating you on a few things. This is something that Deputy Vogel and I have been working on for 2 years now, and before Deputy Vogel is Deputy Locke now. And this is something we're still continuing to reach out to the neighbors. We have sent out letters. If there are interested parties, the village will make copies of letters to help reach the neighbors within the identified geographic area. Trustee Green, I believe, has a interested group in your area. And
picnic this summer.
Right. And so we're going to continue to help with that if there's no objections with from the board as far as helping make copies and distribute flyers to help get a neighborhood association going.
I just want to add one more thing to that. The Longview Neighborhood Watch is on May 11th at 6:30 is doing their Little Kentucky Derby. That's just a reminder. I think everyone's been invited to that, so
I'll try to take pictures and have a broken picture.
That's our most recent neighborhood association, right?
Yes.
That's the group who came to the board last year and enthusiastically started one.
It was May 11th at 6:30. Thank you.
Is that Derby Day?
No.
That weekend or the weekend before,
right? Okay.
Before.
Any other questions on that for Trevor or Brad? Thank you very much. I added a standing agenda item to our village board. I want to make sure that village trustees have an opportunity to let us know if you want something on a future agenda. So we'll just add it to every agenda. And if you have anything you would like to add to a future agenda, here's your opportunity. I don't want to forget anyone. Does anyone have an item that they would like on a future agenda? Hearing none. We will move on to item number 29. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Trustee Henrich, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight.